This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for bearing with us the last couple of days. Took a break from the show and hope you enjoyed the classical music during that hour. Today we have some classical music in the first hour and then a combination of bossa nova and tango nuevo, represented by the group called Bossa Nuevo. They have a new CD out and we'll sample from that with a couple of their members on the show in the later portion of today's program. But first we'll be focusing on a couple of all Schumann chamber music concerts, particularly the first one this coming month, actually this coming Sunday afternoon on the 3rd of October, part of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. My guest is Kent Cook, who is the pianist for the opening recital and a member of the faculty at Illinois Wesleyan. And here he's playing some music by by Frédéric Chopin. pianist R. Kent Cook, in music by Frédéric Chopin, his C minor nocturne, opus 48, number 1. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, Kent Cook is my first guest on the show. He is associate professor of piano at Illinois Wesleyan University School of Music in Bloomington, and he is one of the participants in this coming Sunday afternoon on a recital of chamber music, part of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan. It's going to be at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Westbrook Auditorium on the Wesleyan campus, an all Robert Schumann program. And he's joining some other faculty members and guests for that concert. Tell me about the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. It was actually some of it going on this summer?
Right. It happens every summer for about 3 weeks here in Bloomington on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan. And it's a festival where we have lots of performances with faculty members from Wesleyan and from around the area. We have some from as far away as New York and Nebraska. And we also have lots of kids on campus. We teach them, and they learn chamber music and perform stuff like that. But during the year, we try to have several concerts spread out through the year where we bring back, we perform some of the works we did during the festival and sometimes some new works just to keep the interest in chamber music alive. Sometimes they're fundraisers. Usually they're here on campus, but sometimes we travel. We did one last weekend in Indianapolis.
And that's a program that is going to be repeated this Sunday afternoon at Wesleyan.
Correct, correct.
And these couple are all Schumann.
Right.
Because this is his bicentennial year, I guess.
Correct, yes.
Tell me about your own experience playing Schumann of various kinds. How does his music resonate with you compared to others?
Well, when I was younger, I played lots of Schumann. Most, for the first 10 years or so of Schumann's compositional life, he composed mostly solo piano music. And he gave us pianists a treasure trove of pieces to play. Some of the great monuments of piano repertoire, like Carnival, and one of the pieces I'm playing on this weekend's program, Kreisleriana. And then he met Clara Schumann, of course, the woman he ended up marrying, and she influenced and inspired so much of his music. And then he started writing songs inspired by poets that he knew, and then he started writing lots of chamber music. And so this program we're doing this Sunday is a mix of solo, I'm playing the Kreisleriana, and we're doing the piano quintet, which is a piece he wrote for Clara. And then we're doing three romances for oboe and piano, which are some of the later pieces, Opus 94. From his repertoire. He died in 1856, and these come from just a few years before he died. So Schumann has always resonated with me. I've always played a lot of the solo pieces, and recently, of course, these celebrations of a composer's birth anniversary dates are wonderful because we can just pick one composer and then do a great sampling of their music. So
I've always been curious about a pianist's preparation of the solo piano works. Most the ones that get played most often are, I guess, what you would call the fantasy pieces as opposed to the sonatas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered how easy or difficult it is to prepare them, given that these pieces like Kreisleriana are just a big collection of really small pieces.
It's true. I remember when I was preparing Carnival, I mean, that one particularly, sometimes you spend just a lot of time figuring out which piece comes next because there's so many pieces. Kreisleriana has 8 pieces, although these pieces are a little bit bigger than some of the smaller collections of pieces. There are 8 pieces in Kreisleriana, and some of them last 5 or 6 minutes. The whole set's about 35 minutes. I think, for me, you learn each piece separately at first, and you learn it as its own little separate piece, and then you put it together as a set. Now, Kreisleriana is one of those sets that really is meant to be played as a cycle. Some of the other cycles, like the Novelettin of Schumann, you can play individual numbers, but this one you should play as a set. So as you start to prepare for a performance, you start putting them together in groups, and then you kind of make a narrative out of the whole cycle. So much of Schumann's music is like that. And I think he's Schumann's most wonderful in his character pieces.
Character pieces, that was the term I was looking for. Well,
yeah.
you talked about a narrative. Does the Kreisleriana particularly have a narrative?
Well, it's not a... It may have. If he did have a narrative in mind, it's a secret to everyone, every one of us.
But even the title suggests some outside influence.
Right,
actually,
it was inspired by E.T.A. Hoffman's fictional character, Johannes Kreisler, who was this kind of moody, antisocial composer. And both, Schumann really liked E.T.A. Hoffman's works, and he was really intrigued by this character, Kreisler. And there was actually a novel by Hoffman entitled Kreisleriana. So Schumann knew this novel and he knew this character. So yeah, it's very much inspired by this crazy composer.
And then Schumann himself had these two alter egos that often showed up in his character pieces. And I'm forgetting, is this one of them, where Florestan and Eusebius appear?
Florestan and Eusebius, yes. Yeah, they actually, Florestan is the kind of extrovert side of Schumann's character, and Eusebius is the more introverted side. And both these characters appear very much throughout this piece. And actually, in this piece, he assigns key centers to them. Eusebius is usually in B-flat major, and then Florestan has a variety of keys in which he appears. So, yeah, you have that also running through this piece, the two alter egos of Schumann.
Talking with Kent Cook, pianist and a faculty member at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, going to be participating in a chamber music recital Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, an all-Schumann program. And here he is playing some music by Schumann from, it's one of his Nachtstücke, or night pieces, number 3 from his Opus 23, with the more lively side, less dreamy side, more extrovert side of Schumann.
Thank you.
pianist Kent Cook from Illinois Wesleyan University School of Music faculty. That was the third of Robert Schumann's Nachtstücke, or Night Pieces, from the set Opus 23, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Kent Cook is my guest for this portion of the show. He's going to be playing Schumann's Kreisleriana at the one of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival fall concerts this coming Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Westbrook Auditorium at Illinois Wesleyan. This is also Chopin's bicentennial year, isn't
correct,
it?
Correct, yes.
They were actually born in the same year? I guess I never
realized 1810.
That. And between the two composers, if even reasonable to compare them at all, both of them tended to write the pieces for piano smaller ones, you know, Chopin, all the little etudes and many other things. And yet Chopin's didn't tend to be in cycles. I mean, you might have a set of etudes, but you don't have to play them all.
Correct. And the preludes and the waltzes and all those small pieces, yeah, they can stand on their own, certainly.
Is there a different way that you approach the two composers?
Oh, boy, that's a interesting question. I played some Chopin back in the spring. Yeah, they have their very distinct way of writing for the keyboard, and so when you're immersing yourself into a Chopin work, you get used to the way he writes for the piano and his compositional style. They're very different in the way they write for the keyboard, and they were also pretty good friends. It's interesting that with this Kreisleriana, he was going to dedicate it to Clara, and he ended up dedicating Kreisleriana to Chopin.
Oh, I didn't even realize that in asking the question.
Yeah, he dedicated it to Chopin. And he was, Schumann really helped Chopin start his career. He was one of the first ones to really proclaim him as one of the great new geniuses of Romantic music.
Do they have each distinctive technical challenges, or does it vary very much according to the piece?
Well, it's certainly according to the piece. Yes, it's. I think once you get to know the two composers, you see how it fits the hand differently. That's a kind of a complicated question to answer. I could go on for hours about that, I think. But it's Chopin had a really big, flexible hand. Long fingers and a flexible hand, and you can find that in all of his pieces. In Schumann, of course, many people may know that he hurt his hand. Early in his career, he wanted to be a concert pianist, and he had this device he even had that helped strengthen his fingers. And there's a lot of disagreement about exactly what happened to his hand, but he hurt his hand. And so his career as a concert pianist was over before it really got started. And he started composing, and sometimes I think, this is my own personal opinion, sometimes you can find him working around this problem he had with his hand. Some of his early pieces in particular are very virtuosic and very difficult. So it didn't stop him from writing. He certainly knew how to write challenging pieces for the piano, but their approach is different. And Schumann was largely self-taught as a composer.
And as a pianist or not?
Well, he studied with Clara's father, Frederick Wieck.
Oh, that's right. That's how they sort
he studied with
met.
His father, but late. He was actually late coming to it. He was going to be a lawyer. He was in law school, but he had always wanted to be a musician, so he started taking piano later.
And what about yourself? Have you always been a pianist? Did you ever have other ambitions?
I was actually going to be a dentist, and then I started studying piano when I was about 6 years old. And so as I got to college, I found that I was spending much more time at the piano than I was studying for chemistry and other things. So I thought maybe I should spend my time doing this.
And you were born in Texas.
Yeah, I grew up in Texas.
How long have you been at Wesleyan?
10 years.
And where were you previously?
I went to Indiana for my school after I left Texas. And then I got my first teaching job at DePaul University in Indiana. And then about 10 years ago, I accepted the job here in central Illinois.
And apparently you have enjoyed it well enough, and they've treated you well?
Very much, yes.
And you've got some good colleagues to play these other two pieces on Sunday's program. I should remind listeners that we're talking to Kent Cook, who's on the piano faculty at Illinois Wesleyan University. And he is, actually, you're the one player who is on all three of the pieces on Sunday afternoon's program, this chamber music program of Schumann's music.
Correct.
Is everybody else you're working with faculty members?
Nina Gordon and Lisa Nelson are both faculty members here at Illinois Wesleyan. And the two violinists, Patrick Dalton Holmes and Sherry Hong, are from the Indianapolis Symphony.
Oh.
So we that's one of the reasons we played the concert in Indianapolis last weekend, because they wanted to do it there. And it's kind of nice to have this collaboration with musicians from another area. And they're going to, of course, be coming here this weekend, so it's fun to do that. It makes rehearsal difficult sometimes, but
yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, we worked it out.
How often do you have to rehearse a piece like the piano quintet to really pull it off?
Well, the piano quintet, we spent several Saturdays where we just camped out for about 5 or 6 hours on a piece. Sometimes those really intense rehearsals are really quite good. All of us had played the piece before, so it was just a matter of getting used to playing with each other.
Well, that's so much of what chamber music is about, is
correct.
Communicating with each other visually and orally and getting used to different styles. What happens if you find out that in working with a new player or a new set of players in this case, that let's say Patrick Dalton Holmes and Sherry Hong, as the two violinists, had very different sounds and approaches to the violin, and you didn't know that before you got together? How would you resolve something like that?
Well, that's a good question.
I presume it's hypothetical in this case,
right.
But
and I've known these two people for a long time, so they've been friends, and we've been wanting to play chair music, so I had a good idea of what to expect beforehand. But when you know, most good chamber musicians are pretty flexible, and hopefully, you know, everyone in the group starts to adapt to each other, and sometimes to the piano. Sometimes, if you're playing chamber music with the piano, you go to a hall and the piano has a certain sound, or you know, maybe very different than what you're used to, and everyone just adapts quickly. Or the hall. Well, last week we played in a hall that was very live, so we had to make your articulation shorter and play things in a different way.
And what's the Westbrook Auditorium like?
It's, I think it's kind of medium. It's not dry and it's not too wet either. So it's a pretty nice place to play.
And when you say wet, you mean particularly resonant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, just, you know, musician's lingo there.
Right.
the piano quintet is just a fabulous piece, and of course it's generally called the piano quintet, but in fact it's a quintet for four string players plus piano. Does the piano tend to take the lead role or not necessarily?
Well, some people call this a concerto, a piano concerto with strings. I don't know if that's exactly true. It certainly has a lot of piano, and sometimes it feels a little bit like the piano against the group of strings. And Schumann composed in that way sometimes, where everybody was there were blocks of sound. But I think this piece works very well. It's a very energetic piece, and he really knew what he was doing. He gives each of the string players to something interesting to do. Sometimes in chamber music, the inner voices, maybe the viola and the second violin, don't have much to do. But in this piece, they all get to do, they all have moments of solos, and everybody gets to play.
Well, it's just a fabulous program, three wonderful pieces. I don't know the romances for oboe as well, but Kreisleriana has always been a favorite piece of mine to listen to. And, of course, the piano quintet, one of the real great chamber music pieces in all of the literature, I think.
Yes, it really is.
Sounds like a splendid program. Is there any charge for it?
No, it's free admission.
Free program. So that's on Sunday at 3 o'clock, Westbrook Auditorium at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, an all-Schumann program that features Kent Cook on the piano with oboist Roger Rowe, two violinists, Patrick Dalton Holmes and Sherry Hong, violist Lisa Nelson and cellist Nina Gordon. And Lisa and Nina will be participating in another chamber concert at the end of this month, and we'll probably talk to one or more of them along with two other performers, which is also all Schumann. That's going to be on the 30th of October in a benefit concert. Really appreciate your joining us on the show today, and best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Was the Scherzo movement, the third movement from Robert Schumann's piano quintet. And we heard in that performance pianist Marta Argerich and who else is here? Violinist Dora Schwartzberg and also violinist Lucy Hall with violist Nabucco Imai, and the cellist was Misha Maisky. And you can hear pianist Kent Cook and fellow faculty members and guests from Illinois Wesleyan University School of Music play that complete work Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Westbrook Auditorium on the Illinois Wesleyan campus in Bloomington. And it is a free program, part of an all Schumann program. Our programs today on FM 90.9, including Live and Local, which is what you're listening to, are made possible by Silver Creek in downtown Urbana, serving lunch and dinner every day with a brunch on Sunday. For 20 years, Silver Creek has been bringing to the table freshly baked artisan breads, prime steaks and chops, fresh fish and pasta dishes, and delightful pastries made by Silver Creek's pastry chef. And you can help support Live and Local and other services you rely on here on FM 90.9, accurate news, engaging music, by becoming helping to build our member match fund. Your gift of $25, $50, $75 or more added to the fund will also add excitement and value to our upcoming pledge drive, which will be next month. You also help keep that drive short, which is important not only to our listeners, but also to us here at the station. You can mail your check now to WILL Radio. The address is 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana, area 61801. That's zip, rather, 61801. Or you can give online at willpledge.org. On this portion of Live and Local, we have with us two of the members of the group called Bossa Nuevo. They're based here in Champaign-Urbana. We have their leader, Kareem Yangsep, who's also the bass player, and also with this Mikhail Templeton, who plays both saxophone and flute. And what else do you end up playing?
Well, I play tenor and alto saxophone and flute, as you said.
And flute. And we'll be hearing, hopefully, at least two of those instruments in the CD that is self-titled Bossa Nuevo, that has just come out and is going to be officially released at your party Friday evening at 8 o'clock at V Picasso Tapas Bar and Lounge in downtown Urbana. And Kareem and Mick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us,
thanks,
Kevin.
A lot.
Yeah, you pointed out to me just before we started here that this is maybe your fourth appearance on the show. You've played live for us at least twice, which has been a real treat for us.
Yeah, I remember we got booked on the show by our friend Katie Visdal at the time we were doing a show at IMC, and she was so great about providing publicity for our band. And ever since then, just being able to come up on the show and talk about our music has been instrumental in our local exposure, and it really helped us a lot. So thank you so much for having us.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's fun to have the music, and it was fun to know about new groups. I'll just mention as a pitch that if you're listening to the show, if you know about or maybe are even a part of a group that hasn't had any exposure on the station, a largely acoustic group, let me know about it, and we'll try to get you on our calendar and also maybe get you on the show. The address easiest to write me is Will Calendar, that's W-Y-L-L Calendar, at illinois.edu. Kareem, remind me how long you guys have been around. You're still a pretty new group.
Actually, October will be our first year anniversary, October 14 to be exact, and I have these paternal warm feelings about, I'm so excited, and I keep telling everyone how great it is. But we've been around close to a year, and thanks to our this community and fans and every venue that wants to have us, and that kind of kept us going.
Mick, you were grinning over there when he was saying something about October 14th. Did something happen on October the 14th besides?
Oh, no, I just think it's great how, you know, we were very, like he said, he was having these paternal feelings like of warmth and care for the band. I just thought it was kind of, I guess, kind of cute. I was like, you know, 1 year is gone by in the band.
And he's a papa. Do you think of him as a father figure?
In many ways, yes. As the band, he's the band father for all of us.
Well, I have to say though, although a lot of our members are not here with us today, but
you say that as though they've passed on. They haven't passed on.
Yeah,
they're
well,
just,
not
they're just
here
not here today
in the studio. A lot of the success of the group came to be because of the chemistry that we have in the band, and I'll just name them. It's Holly Holmes on vocals, Lara Driscoll on piano, George Turner on guitar, Matt Plaskota, who's now in Chicago, on the drum set, and Cody Jensen, who came back from Bali, on percussion, and Mick on flute and sax, and myself. This group really... The nucleus is our chemistry in the group and how we can just grow off each other and learn a lot, because we're all in school, except actually not all now. Like 3-4 people graduated, so.
Mick, you just graduated?
I just graduated. Also, the pianist Lara Driscoll graduated. Cody Jensen graduated, and so did Matt Plaskota. We all graduated just this past May. So
we're talking about chemistry. What do you do now that it sounds like both percussionists are away?
We're very happy that Matt continues to play with us, and he specifically drives down for our gigs, and I have so much respect for that musician, and to me it means that we're doing something good. Someone from Chicago is willing to travel and to continue to work with us.
So is Cody really Cody, in Bali?
No, he came back, and now he is again with us.
Oh, is he's back in town then?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought somebody told me he'd moved away.
He's back.
Well, that's good. So you're still intact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we hear a sample from your CD? Produced by one of your, co-produced by one of your professors, Chip McNeil.
Yeah, it was a really important thing for me to have his expertise, and he was really kind enough to come into the studio and work with us in mixing and help us figure out the sound, and that helped a lot.
And this is recorded in Mark Rubel's Pogo
yep.
Studios.
Yep.
What are we going to hear first?
Let's hear, speaking of our percussionists, Upa Neginio, track number 7, is the tune that features a percussion break, which to me, every time I hear it, it blows my mind.
And what does that name mean?
It's a common idiom that is very hard to translate, especially if you don't speak Portuguese. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, it's Bossa Nuevo here on Live and Local.
Opa, neguinho na estrada, opa, pra lá e pra cá. Veja que coisa mais linda, opa, neguinho começando a andar. Opa, neguinho na estrada, opa, pra lá e pra cá. Veja que coisa mais linda, opa, neguinho começando a andar. Começando a andar, começando a andar. E já começa a apanhar. Desce, neguinho, me abraça, desce, me ensina a cantar. Eu vou muito te posso ensinar, muito te posso ensinar. Capoeira, ziquizira, valentia, mas de verdade só posso esperar.
Piece called Upa Neguinho by Edu Lobo and Gianfrancesco Guarnieri. That doesn't sound quite, at least not the second composer, doesn't sound quite bossa nova or tango nuevo, but which actually leads into this discussion of the group here from whose new CD, self-titled CD, Bossa Nuevo, you just sampled. Your name, we've talked about it before when you've been here before, but this combination of those two types of music, generally speaking, did you dream up that concept? Did it evolve with the group?
Well, it's kind of, to be honest, the name is like an ideal, and we're growing into it slowly, and I think when first we formed, we did a lot of the bossa nova side of our name. But as the time progresses, we're doing a lot of piazzolla and trying to come up with fresh arrangements for that music, for our instrumentation. And Mick can probably add something too, because he, unlike in traditional tango, we don't have accordion or bandoneon. And Mick plays the lead on his alto saxophone.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say earlier, our name, Bossa Nuevo, is a combination of bossa nova and tango nuevo, which is why you have nuevo instead of nova in our title. But as Kareem was saying, playing piazzolla works has really given me an opportunity to play more classical saxophone as opposed to just playing more jazz-influenced saxophone playing. my freshman year in college, I did a lot more classical saxophone. And then as school progressed and I got more involved in the jazz program, the amount of classical playing I did diminished, but I've always had a love for it. And so I'm really grateful to Kareem and Bossa Nuevo as a group for, you know, giving me the opportunity to play Piazzolla, which has in turn given me a great outlet to play classical saxophone. So I owe it a lot to Kareem for that, and I'm having a great time doing it. So,
well, the whole thing actually sort of blurs the concept of what is classical saxophone, though.
That's true. I mean, I would say, well, in terms of classical saxophone, I would say in more of a concert saxophone ideal as opposed to jazz saxophone. My approach on these Piazzolla tunes is more in that idiom, in the concert classical tradition, as opposed to, you know, a jazz composition where I would approach it as a jazz saxophonist. I don't know if that explains everything in your question.
Yeah, you know, we were planning to play a different cut on here. Kareem, I wonder if you mind if we play.
No, I think you're actually right. It's kind of as a continuation of our discussion. And this, well, I just hit the microphone, sorry.
Nicely done.
Well, okay, this track has a very interesting history because for about 2 months I couldn't find the compulsory license for it. And our recording was hanging by a thread, so to speak, because it was so difficult to find a publisher who owns the copyright. But thankfully, with a lot of help from our friends, we found it and are so happy to be able to include this composition by Astor Piazzolla entitled Soledad on our CD, and which features Mikael and George Turner as soloists, and it kind of defines the core sound of our group, because not a lot of people expect to come to a jazz club and just hear Piazzolla played on saxophone. So,
by Astor Piazzolla called Soledad from the disc called Bossa Nuevo. That is the name of the group based here in Champaign-Urbana, and you're hearing that on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have two members of the group as guests on this portion of our show, Karim Yengsep, who's the bassist, and Mikhail Templeton, who is a saxophone player in that piece, also plays flute on some of the others. And before we get back to, we just have a few minutes left, I want to be sure to mention a few events that are going on in our area. The Boneyard Jazz Quintet is going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 5 o'clock. And one of Bossa Nuevo's members, the pianist Lara Driscoll, is going to be at Via Picasso in downtown Urbana tonight at 6 o'clock. There's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign at 7 o'clock. And the Tito Carrillo Quintet is at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. And tomorrow, there's a faculty showcase recital at the Downa Fine Arts Center in Charleston. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night. Duck Hunter Shoots Angel by Mitch Albom is the play being put on by Parkland College Theater, and that continues tomorrow. And not sure for how many weekends yet. There's a Sudden Sound concert with Trio X at Krannert Art Museum in Champaign on the University of Illinois campus. That's tomorrow night at 7:30. And the UI Jazz Combos, two of them, are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Those are just some of the events going on in our area. We're going to go out with one more by Bossa Nuevo in just a minute. I might as well get a couple of other announcements done so that we can go out with the music. Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvance Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. And you're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators, W266AF Urbana, W293AF Danville. And we're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Coming up at a minute past one, it's the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor and classical music back with you at a minute past six. And this is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Karim, this CD sounds great.
Thank you. Before we leave, I really would like to take this chance and thank you for having us anytime you're able to, and to this wonderful community that's been so kind to us. Every gig we do, we always see friends and community members. And also to Mark Rubel, Chip McNeil, the faculty at the School of Music, and our friends in the community, just for allowing us to share this music and allow us to grow. And hopefully we'll see you Friday night at V. Picasso at 8 p.m.
8 o'clock, and that's your CD release party. You'll be playing live?
Live music.
A rather too cheap cover to give you guys your due, but I'm sure you'll be selling some of these CDs there.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's
I'm sure we will.
Part of the point. Well, introduce this last tune we're going to go out with, Alo, Alo Marciano.
Yeah, this is a tune arranged by our guitarist, George Turner, and features George and Mick and also Holly
Holmes, who's the vocalist with the group. Well, we'll look forward to having you back, and have a lot of fun on Friday.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Mas down on high society, down, down, 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 down. Down. ficar.